Ladies and gentlemen, guess what? It's the Mean Green Nation podcast, and we are post Labor Day. I mean, it's like Labor Day evening, night now. So Labor Day's done. Good weekend for you, Aldo?
Oh, yeah. Plenty to eat, plenty to drink, and lots of football.
That's good. The kid got a little sick, so I didn't get to hit up any Labor Day barbecues, which is fine because I kind of wanted to rest. Traveling to and fro takes a lot out of you, especially with a kid. And especially if you eat and drink a lot, you know, for game day. It always feels good on a Sunday and a Monday after North Texas gets a W. Even over an overmatched FCS team that only practiced once.
Yeah. The food still tasted better. The drink drank better.
Yeah, I mean, you know, University of Texas may have, I guess, 10 times the number of fans that North Texas has. Texas A&M, same thing. But neither of those teams has a win in the W column this week, you know?
Yep.
And both did it in embarrassing fashion. I think Texas was like an 18-point favorite. And A&M, they were 6-point underdogs. But when you blow a 34-point lead, that's embarrassing.
Then you had Baylor.
Oh, yeah. Baylor. I didn't expect much from Baylor, and Baylor went and lost to Liberty in a game where I think everybody was rooting against both teams, you know? That's fine. Good job, rest of Texas. I mean, Houston didn't play. They didn't play UTSA, so we can't say anything about them. Rice.
They didn't lose.
Yeah, Rice is not a public school, so I don't care. and they only have 3 fans, and those are their parents. So, I mean, whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, North Texas has a win. Yes, I know Lamar was displaced by a natural disaster, and we had to house them and feed them and give them some practice time, and we whooped them. It's a good thing because we should have whooped them. Like, if all that were the case and we only squeaked this one out like 31-13 or something like that, we would have felt iffy about everything. A team that is good should beat an underprepared team handily, and we did so. I didn't see any problem with the offense. Like, they got whatever they wanted, especially in the run game, because the best player on the team was and is Jeff Wilson, and he scooted away from any arm tackles, and anytime anybody got even close to him, you know, he took advantage of them, either with his agility, with his speed, with his strength. And that's the way it should happen when you have the best player on the field, right?
Yeah, and I think he was making Chris Berman sounds when he was down on the field every time he juked somebody. I think that's what I heard. But, man, yeah, he looked good. He looked, you know, mid-season form. He was confident.
He also had a mid-season injury.
Yeah. Well, I think it was just a cramp. Yeah, I think he was cramping. A lot of guys were cramping. Nick Smith, I mean, he looked good, as expected. Evan Johnson, the big surprise. I don't know how surprised you were with his performance.
A little bit. I was expecting more of Hosley, but, I mean, you know, I think at that level, you never know what's happening in the chart. You know, that week, you're like, well, this week, this guy's been doing good. Or just the play, something they saw. Or you never know. I thought he played well. I thought Nick Smith played well, especially catching the ball. He did a good job making plays after the catch. But I think you can see the difference between Jeff Wilson and the rest of our running backs. And that's not like knocking him. You can just tell the difference. Like, a play that Jeff Wilson would cut back and take it 60 yards. Our other guys were doing good to make that like an 18-yard run, which is perfectly acceptable and, you know, desired even. It just, you can tell the difference. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. He's just at another tier above the other guys.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what it should be, right? You got a senior guy.
Yeah, the other two guys. Yeah, you got two freshmen and a redshirt freshman. You got to expect them to, you know, not have the same polish.
Yeah, so good stuff all around. The run game was dominant. What is it, 436 yards rushing on 60 carries or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. I stopped counting after 350 yards.
Yeah. I mean, in the effective part, it was the first half, dominated. There were some question marks. There's little iffy plays. I think Mason Fine got sacked twice, and he got hurried a couple other times. 15-21 is not ideal. I mean, in a game like this where he shouldn't be really challenged, you're kind of expecting some like 18-21, 18-25, or 24.
I mean, it's 71% completion.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, like, you have to dig deep to pick the nits here, you know.
Sure.
And I mean, yeah, like when the run game is dominant like that, you give him another go. And so maybe you had a pass play drawn up, and you're like, you know what, I just hand it off to our best dude again, and let him walk it in. The line was getting great push. We didn't really learn too much from our team outside of what I mentioned earlier, that they're good and they look sharp against a team that's, you know, underprepared and overwhelmed.
There was still some rustiness here and there, like you're saying in the past game. I think one of those sacks, there was no wide receiver that was open.
Mm-hmm.
They were all covered man to man, and when you're playing against FCS, you got to have at least one guy open.
Yeah, and like I said, there were some issues to point out here and there, and mostly that's in the pass game. That said, this pass game was so you have to compare it to something, right? Like, well, can we compare it to how they played against Army? No, it's not really realistic. So we have to look back to like Bethune-Cookman. That was an overmatched team, a good team defensively. I think Luttrell was talking about their quick twitch defensive line. So you compare it to that team, and that's not a great comparison given everything I said, but still, it's FCS team. Okay, maybe we can get some kind of comparison there. The past game, second week of the season last year, was awful. Mason Fine looked like he was trying to figure it out, although he did look comfortable, you know, running the show. He didn't really always complete passes. Guys were not open. We were trying to figure out a receiver situation. Same thing with Alec Morris. Trying to figure things out. I think that was the infamous fade route game where nobody could throw a good fade route and it was awful, and everybody was like, let's just run the ball or something. Why would we do that? This time, hey, was it Quentin Jackson? Caught a beauty of a throw from Mason Fine. Over the shoulder, hit him on the right outside shoulder. Nobody else could get it but his guy, and led him towards the end zone. That's where they practice it. They put a bucket out there, and they throw it to the sideline. They do that, or they just have them throw that route outside of the numbers towards the sideline. Good route. He left the quarterback enough space to drop it in there, and he hit it. That's what you got to look for. That's what makes me excited about the pass game.
Yeah, it looked beautiful from my angle. I was sitting from behind the in the end zone there, and all the fade passes that he was throwing looked great to me from the angles. So much improved from last year, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things, we mentioned this before, you and I definitely are talking about the issues with Mason Fine's passing. Not a whole lot of throws over the middle this time. There was a nice one, like a seam route to the standard. Mike Lawrence.
Yeah, so we were attacking the seam a lot more than I expected us to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the air raid, we've discussed that you want to pass over the middle and on a lot of crossing and slant routes, but he was attacking the seam routes extensively. Those guys were open consistently, and he was hitting them on the money. Like you said, that 1-2, Mike Law was a good example of that.
Yeah, I think what was great about that touchdown pass was that, because I was like in section 102, so I was kind of looking at Guyton run towards me, and I was kind of watching him, and I could see Mason Fine look towards him, and it looked like he was going to throw it to him, because I'm like looking right at Mason Fine at that angle, and he quickly turns to his left and fires a pass. I was like, oh man, he looked me off on a pass, you know what I mean? Like, so that was the deal, is that I think Guyton was running like a dig or posting something. He's cut inside. And the safety walked over. I mean, the corner actually bit too. And that opened up the seam. So great route by, Mike Lawrence. But better quarterbacking by Mason Fine. That's, you can tell, year over year improvement. That's what you're looking for. He looked off the safety. That's what you're looking for. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, his confidence was evident The pass protection mostly looked pretty darn good too.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, like again, it's hard to. We only threw 21 times, and you know, like you said, 15 completion. He had three touchdowns. I mean, it's really hard to pick apart anything there and like, oh, this is bad. Mason Fine did have some self-criticism. Like you can see him come to the sideline and kind of like, oh, I should have done blah blah. And you know, Seth Luttrell put his arm around him and was like, hey, it's all right, buddy. You did a good job. We scored a touchdown. You know, yeah. I mean. Good performance all around. It was a good run out. Exactly what we needed to see. Gives everybody some confidence. You know, like you want both of the things. Like coaches like looking at Tillman and you know picking nits again. This is could need this needs improvement. That needs improvement. But you also need positive reinforcement. You know, you need to see your work have good returns. You know, you've been putting all this time and effort, and you go out there and you know. Run for 436 yards and throw for, what is it, 231, whatever it is, and score three touchdowns. Don't turn the ball over. You feel good about all that, and so you say, "Hey, what we're doing is working. We feel good. Let's do it harder. Let's continue what we're doing. Let's get a little bit better and beat SMU next week."
Yeah, I mean he performed better than I was expecting. I told you last week, I was thinking like 200 yards after the end of the third. They took him out midway through the third, and he had crossed 230 yards plus those three touchdowns. So yeah, he way better than I expected.
Yeah, I mean, and again, he didn't have a whole lot of time. I mean, he didn't have to.
Opportunity,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. I mean, when Jeff Wilson is just eating up yardage, like you know, okay, so then just dump off pass touchdown. But yeah, like those a couple passes that he threw, I was like, those are nice. The one he hit, what's it, the touchdown pass, the one touchdown pass to Jackson, and then the other one, the nice pass to Jalen Guyton along the sideline. Those two are ones we can say, wow, those are good ones. And then, okay, that's it. That's all we need. Let's hit those again against SMU, whose defense I don't really believe in so much. I don't want to get into the preview, SMU preview just yet, but SMU scored 58, only allowed 14 against Stephen F. Austin. Pretty decent Stephen F. Austin team. You know, like they are, was it 12 points of favorites? They opened at like 12 or 13, and it's
12.5,
been,
yeah.
yeah, it's been moving around there since. Before we get into that, do you buy that 12 point
I
spread?
mean, it's good. It's closer than, I think last year was bigger than that, or was it like 3 points last year? Like,
I
because
think it
both
was a little
teams,
closer.
yeah, because both teams sucked going into last year, and so nobody knew what was going to happen with those teams. Yeah, I mean, I see it just because, SMU had a good run last year. They beat Houston. They had a great showing against this team, and our go of it is a little bit harder compared to SMU. North Texas has to prove a little bit more than SMU does in order to get favored in a game.
Yeah. Well,
But
again, before we talk SMU, let's finish up with this one. What else stood out to you in this game, on the field?
I want to give kudos to Quinn Shanbor. I mean,
Schanbohr.
running the ball, he did well, but the play calling wasn't to what was to the detriment of him. Just because they started stacking it and they started attacking the run, he had a great pass to Deion Hare Griffin that he dropped way down on the sideline. It was a beautiful pass. Just kudos to that. Sorry he got dropped. It would have been his first FBS touchdown. So I'm happy that he looked good on that one pass.
Yeah, you look good. You know who didn't look good? Eric Jenkins returning the punts.
Oh yeah, who can forget? I'm concerned about that. That could lose us the game. Not Eric Jenkins in particular, but the special teams, at least the punting unit. When they talked about that article from Beto talking about how they were going to open up the special teams to all starters, that got me concerned because that means the backups just aren't good enough to do special.
Yeah, well, I think there are two schools of thought there, right? Like, I think some of the greatest special teams units that I've seen in college football were like Virginia Tech, right? They always had a great one. University of Texas in Mac Brown's era when he was getting like number one, number two recruiting classes, so the depth chart was pretty great. But then I'm skipping one. Miami had a great one for a while there too, but also same kind of deal, a lot of talent all the way through. There's like, yeah, you need to have a deep team, and you know everybody should. That's where you contribute first on special teams, and you earn your way up. And then there's also everybody takes pride in it, and so you want to be on special teams, right? I mean, Marcus Shrice for the 2013 North Texas squad was a big contributor on special teams. You know, he blocked a couple kicks, right?
Sure, he was attacking the ball, but I mean, who was a returner? Braylon Chancellor. We don't have.
He's a starter too.
Yeah, sure, but there's no wide receiver and there's no running back returning kicks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think Eric Jenkins was kind of going to do that anyway, and I think, I don't know. I mean, we haven't had a good punt returner since Breland Chancellor. I know, even go, like Carlos Harris tried it, and he didn't do that great, and then they swapped him out with Trey Johnson, who's a walk-on, and that dude, he returned a kick against UTEP. That was good. He had a couple good returns. I think Tyler Wilson was going to be our guy, and then he's gone now, and so you're still kind of shuffling through and waiting for somebody to make an appearance. Jalen Darden had one return he had a kick return for 29 yards. Eric Jenkins had four, right? Is that what it was? Four, and didn't do too much else. And he muffed one. I guess that was his contribution.
I do want to argue that one. He had a defender in his space. He had to move out of the way to get to the ball. In order to field the punt. So I think there's a certain,
I think what you
awareness.
Do there is just let it go.
Right, right. There's some awareness that is lacking that the coaches need to walk them through and say, hey, when you see that, just get out of the way. Remember to fair call it. Don't get slammed in the face.
Yeah, I mean, I think he did a fair catch, and then he just got, you know, he should have, once he saw too many people in his face, he should have moved out of the way. But and you're right, that's coaching and all the other stuff and experience doing that. But, I mean, that's part of the gig, right? Like, to know everything that you're supposed to do in those situations. Again, we're kind of waiting for somebody to make a name for themselves. Didn't Turner Smiley do a couple returns last year?
Yeah, one against Rice a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Kidney.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't really get to see Jenkins do any returning of it, like that, those punts were awful, so it was kind of like, I mean, he didn't really have too much to work with, but he did muff one, and that's a concern. He gets a demerit. We're gonna look around and hand out demerits there. That led to another touchdown, I mean, because otherwise it would have been a three and out, and they went for it on fourth down, fourth and one, and barely caught the pass. It was a terribly thrown pass, you know, so mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's field position, right? That's how you win or lose games against an SMU that might determine the game, et cetera, et cetera. So special teams unit, not the best grade. Defense, I think you give them an A-minus. A-minus? Just because that long TD was awful.
He got burned. Nate Brooks got burned on that double move.
Yeah.
He tripped over himself, and he decided, you know what, I'm not gonna catch him.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. The blitz, I think we did like, you know, a zero blitz, and we got to the guy a half second after he released it, because like the ball was in the air, and then he got murdered, right? And if Nate Brooks would have been closer to the ball, he might have made a play on it, and you know, we could have had just a 7 points allowed instead of the 14. But you know, whatever, that kind of stuff happens. It will happen when we blitz everybody. There's no safety, obviously, and you know, if our corners don't stay step for step, stride for stride, that kind of thing can happen. It could happen even if they're stride for stride. They can make a catch over them, you know. But that's the gamble we're taking, and I don't really have a problem with it. But he did get beat pretty badly.
Yeah, and what's his name, Colton McDonald. I watched him for a little bit because I kind of was doubting him last week. You know, he's a strong safety coming over from an FCS team, but starting at linebacker, and I was watching him. He's agile, he's quick, he's hitting the holes, so he's got a good, sound defense, as well as good tracking ability. And they were putting him in blitzing situations, and he was attacking, disrupting the quarterback. So I like him so far. He did a good job.
Yeah, I don't have the tackling numbers in front of me, but I mean, he made more tackles than Brandon Garner did, right?
I think it was number two on the team.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird game, especially when you're beating them like this. Like it's hard to tell who played really well. Like everybody just did well. You know what I mean? Like Lamar had nowhere to run, they had nowhere to throw. I mean, wherever they decided to go with the ball, a North Texas defender was going to make a play, and they're going to get. But it was a team effort. I don't think there was any weaknesses again outside of that one touchdown.
Sure, but I feel like, you know, when you say there's going to be a North Texas defender there, Colton McDonald was primarily there at all times.
No, I mean, I know what you're saying. What I mean is, like, I don't think we can look at the numbers and say anybody was bad, but yeah, those people were good. That was I see what you're saying, and I agree with you. I don't know if we learned too much. Did you feel like you learned a whole lot from our team? Other than Colton McDonald, yeah.
We rotated through three kickers, I think.
Yeah.
And none of the other two didn't have the leg that Trevor Moore does.
Yeah. Yeah, like, so what is our overall grade for this? You got to give him an A, right? You score 59 points. That's great. And, like, none of those are special team scores. And that's the great part in, like, assessing the offense. I talked about this before. I think I tweeted about it. If we would have gotten the special team scores that we did against Nickel State in, was it 2014? This could have been like a 77 point, but we didn't, you know, that was the difference here. If we would have got sack fumbles, you know, pick sixes or return to kick all the way, then this would have been a 77. But 59 points by the offense is great, especially it's all offense.
Yeah, and you were saying last week about having a good win versus a bad win, and this one was definitely a good win.
Yeah, was it halftime we had 34 points?
31 or 34, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Good. I mean, there's really nothing to take away from this. Like, by the second half, we were running it out, you know? Fourth quarter, we're like, let's get to the end.
Yeah, and we were consistently dominant.
Yeah, that was great. Good stuff all around. So I think we can now turn our attention to Smoo. Do you have sports hate in your heart for Smoo right now?
Always. I mean, it's SMU.
Yeah, I was watching the SMU, was it Pony Excess documentary when I got to the hotel on Friday night. It was like 1 a.m, couldn't really sleep. You know, I was just thinking about the arrogance of SMU, the program. It's harder for me to get hyped about SMU. One, it's a smaller school, like in terms of population, right? There's not that many alumni around, and any people that were super diehard Pony Excess fans, like they're fans of Craig James, Eric Dickerson back in the day, they're ancient and they don't really run in my circles, right? Also, they probably have way more money than me, and so they don't want me in their circles, right? Fine. There's just not that many, and they haven't been good for so long. And I think I made a post about this last season. I think someone was talking about, yeah, we got more whatever. Like, in the past 20, 30 years, I think I marked it down. 20 years, definitely. They've won, like, one more game, and we've been to the same number of bowl games, or we've been to one more.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, we've been, like, the same team. It's really hard, and we haven't really been battling out for anything in particular. I still don't have the same kind of hate as I do for, like, like a UTSA or even like a Rice, you know, because like Rice has that history where we beat them on the 31st of October, that great game. I think that was good memories then.
I don't know. I feel a little bit different. Like, I have respect for UTSA while I don't have respect for SMU as a football program.
Yeah. I mean,
like you're saying,
You're like from the Dallas area, though. You're like from Dallas, right?
No, no, I'm from Austin.
You're from Austin. Then what is your deal then? I don't understand you.
It's because they're that arrogance you're talking about. We're so awesome. I had never heard of the SMU football program.
Yeah.
Until I moved up to Dallas.
I guess it's
I was like, who are you people?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the same way, but it's hard for me to find anybody who cares. You know, so it's hard for me. I feel like I'm the only one caring. And then, the thing is, I'm perfectly happy to sports hate them, right? Like, I want to win against them every time, but I don't have anything natural bubbling up. So going this week, it's hard for me to get super hyped about it. I do want to get one over on them, especially since they beat us last year at home. I think I've seen the 2006 game, the 2007, ridiculous game where Daniel Mager threw for, 11,000 yards. I think it was, 600 yards or something crazy. 601, is that what it was? And, Casey Fitzgerald caught all the passes. Mm-hmm. I turned to my then-girlfriend and now wife, and I said, I think this dude has, 200, 300 yards receiving, man. He's caught everything. It's been ridiculous. That was pretty, I guess, mobile internet. Well, easily getting mobile internet. You know, you had to wait 8 minutes for a page to load. So I couldn't check it.
T9 every search.
Yeah, it's basically like that. I remember that game, and I saw both of those. I saw we beat SMU, that they beat us. We beat them 41-3, or was it 40? Is that what it was? 43-3.
I think you got it.
They won six. They had six. They scored at the end. We should have shut them out. And then the one they beat us there, the terrible Dan McCartney game where we had the great field position and we decided to run the ball for a 9-yard game. And then, obviously, last year's. Third and 45 is what I call that game. I want to go beat them there. I want to beat them on their home field. We haven't done that in... Yeah, you know, I just outlined it the past decade. They lead the all-time series by an unfathomable margin that will take all the way until my children are...
Decades and
in
decades.
School. Yeah, for us to catch up, and that's if we go on a miracle win streak. And that's fine, too. It doesn't matter. I wasn't around in the 80s to watch or care, you know? I care about parts that I see.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. You know, the people that are the broadcasters, the people, the producers, all those dudes, they're the ones that live through the Pony Express.
Yeah,
that's what they remember. We have no clue or care about that time. You know, we're post Pony Express.
Yeah, in my lifetime, SMU has been a joke. And that's all I think about. I actually, before I chose North Texas, I would... choose them on NCAA. I was like, yeah, I think I'll make SMU kind of good. Sure, why not? Let me root for them. You know, they used to be good. Nobody cares about them anymore. So it's more like, oh, look at SMU. You know, so it's funny that they look down on us because I'm like, I've been looking down on you, son. Yeah. So it goes. We play them next week. They're a 12, 13-point favorite depending on your bookie, depending on when you decide to place your bet. About three points of that, 4 points of that is home field advantage, which is kind of silly because they're just right there. It's not a whole lot of travel. You can take the train down there. It's not really that big a deal. They're not going to have a home field advantage.
I still say that we brought more people last year, or last time we were at Ford Stadium, than they did.
I believe it. It felt like it. And it would be the case this time. As many, I would bring... myself and a few others, but I don't think I'm going to make it this time, unfortunately. But I'm going to have a watch party here, so that's how I'm going to do it, here at Main Green headquarters. Can't make it up this time, which pains me to no end. But them's the breaks, man. My wife gave me a either-or. She's like, look, we can go there, or we can go to this concert that you've been wanting to go to. Choose. I was like, damn it. How can you make me choose?
Is it margarita, though?
No, it was the Guns N' Roses concert, on Friday night here in San Antonio.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm like, it's like, do I want to, drive and then get to the game and then turn around and drive all the way back like that? I don't want to do it. It's fine. I went to the Lamar game. Nobody at me. Nobody make fun of me. These are the choices we make. So anyway, so SMU, I'm not really scared of them. They run an offense similar to what we run. It's a little bit has some differences. They're more run up the middle, throw it deep, instead of like full on air raid the way we are. They're a little bit like Baylor like, so a lot of deep routes. But they have the horses to hit those deep routes. You may remember Mr. Courtland Sutton. He's still there. He's still dangerous. That's what I thought. While number 88, whoever it was, I forget the guy's name from Lamar, caught the 68-yard touchdown pass. I was like, oh my god, and that's gonna be Courtland Sutton. He's gonna do the same thing to us. I hate him.
Yeah, he's a future first round draft pick. He's going to catch at least 2 to 3 touchdowns. We got to be okay with that.
Yeah, and I think SMU has another guy too that's pretty good, and I forget his name right now, but that dude's good. But like they have guys that could play. And while I think that we have upper tier defensive backs, I mean, that's their strength right now. Nate Brooks, one of the best corners in Conference USA. But he does get beat. I mean, he's not the best, and he probably isn't NFL talent. I don't think he's going to, you know, like I don't see him on anybody like, look out for this guy. So, you know, I like what he does. He handles guys. He does well against certain players, but he got handled by the La Tech dudes, and he got handled by the SMU guys last season. That's what you do. So how do we stop it? What are we going to try to do? A lot of the same thing. I think we're going to try to play our straight defense and try to get at their quarterback. Was it the Hicks guy? We're going to try to get at him because he's not Matt Davis. And I think we'll have some success. But we got to look out for that Courtland Sutton bailout pass, because dude could just jump over you and catch it. And you're like, wow, I had great defense on him. No, you didn't.
Yeah, you're safer to risk an interception with Courtland Sutton trying to get the ball than taking the sack.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the deal, and that's great. That's a great outlet there. Like, hey, let me toss it up to the best guy on the field. And, you know, you get success that way. If we can figure out a game plan there, and I like our situation. I wish we had a Bryce English out there to stuff the run a little bit more. But I like what everybody did. I thought defensive line played well. They got some pressure. We brought some blitzes. I thought we didn't really get too exotic. A lot of them were standard kind of things. You didn't see us do anything crazy. I think we're probably going to break something out funky for SMU, but nothing crazy there because they're not a conference foe. We want to save that for the conference guys. That's my gut estimate. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to keep blitzing the quarterback, try to disrupt it. I think SMU is going to put up a lot of points. They're going to put up a lot of yards. It's going to look bad on paper, but as long as we're able to keep up scoring with them, it should make for a fun game.
Yeah, I think I don't think SMU can. I mean, they ran well against us last year. They hit a couple big runs.
They've got good running backs. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's not. I don't think that's their strength. Their strength is obviously throwing the ball to Courtland Sutton, and I think that's where our strength is too. And even if they still have an advantage, they could beat us. I'd like that, them throwing the ball, because more, you know, there's that old cliche, right? Like, three things can happen when you throw the ball, and two of them are bad or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. I like that rather than them running the ball and controlling the line of scrimmage, because I think running the ball would be a little bit more demoralizing. I still feel that we played them okay last season. And if we had a better offense, an offense that was clicking a little bit more, we would have been in that game. We gave up too many big plays.
Yeah, we were in it for a long time, and yeah, those big plays, Courtland Sutton just by himself turned the game around for SMU, gave them that confidence that they needed to just finally pull away in the last couple quarters.
Yeah, they had they hit a couple, like two huge, obviously the 3rd and 45 play, that was awful. But then they hit. We had our freshman corner on one of their. Was that Courtland Sutton there too?
I'm forgetting. Yeah, on the far boundary.
Yeah, and then he whooped them. We just got caught up in matchup things, and I don't think that's gonna happen again. Considering that was first game of a new coaching staff with a bunch of new guys, and a new scheme, right? And we're trying to match up against people that kind of knew they were a year into their scheme. That was kind of bad. And so this year, I think we're going to match up a little better. Everybody's a lot more comfortable in what they're doing. The scheme, watching them play Lamar, didn't really change too much. Even the formations, and I talked about a little bit more three stack. We pretty much played the way we played last season, and that's good because everybody's more comfortable. They can just react and act. And, you know, like I said, Lamar had two big plays. One was the big touchdown, and the other was the 4th-and-1 touchdown. You know, that's about all we gave up, and it's great. If we can play at that level, adjusted for the competition, we should be okay. I don't think that we're going to shut them down. We're not going to hold them to 0 yards or anything like that. But we just got to slow them down enough so that way Mason Fine and Jeff Wilson can do their thing.
Yeah, I think this is setting up to be a pretty fun game. It's going to be nearly back and forth, I feel.
Yeah. So with all that advantage, remember, like, SMU only scored 34 points against us. And then Baylor shut them down. They played Liberty, and they only scored 29 last year. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Liberty now is a giant killer, I guess, if you call Baylor a giant. They only scored 3 against TCU, which is understandable. Temple beat them 45-20. They played at Tulsa. That was an overtime game. They finally won. They beat, that was the one everybody's talking about, when they beat Houston. But Houston, I think at that point, was already on Tom Herman leave watch.
Yeah, so, coasting it out.
Yeah. Here's the thing about, I told this to a couple of my Texas fans at work. I was like, you know, Tom Herman, I think everybody like checked out when Houston beat Oklahoma. And then right about October, they're like, man, okay, we got it. Houston's good. And they didn't pay attention. But Houston had some bad losses last season. And even the season before that, they had some chance to do some things. Like, I know Tom Herman's y'all's dude, but he's going to put up some ugly L's. Lo and behold.
It surprise. Came to
pass. Yeah. So, yeah, SMU jumped up and beat Houston. Tulane, I don't know. How good is Tulane? They were at Tulane. They won 35-31.
Oh, really? Tulane's not that great. They yeah. haven't been good for a while.
Yeah. East Carolina is good. They beat East Carolina. You know, that's kind of who knows. South Florida and Navy, they lost to those teams. They finished 5-7, and we'll go ahead and say that they played better teams. Although, I will say that Western Kentucky at their height was almost as good as Houston was at their average. Would you say that? You think, like, last year, Western Kentucky could have beat Houston at a neutral site game? I think they would have given them a game.
I think that would have been a game. Yeah, I think they could have come close, depending on the time of year.
Yeah, and, I mean, how did the Navy – Navy played Louisiana Tech, right? Who won that game? Did Louisiana Tech win that in the bowl game?
I'd assume so.
Let me see. Let me check that. Yeah, they lost to Louisiana Tech. So – you know, we got destroyed by Louisiana Tech. So, I don't know. I don't know how you want to put this, but Navy scored 75 points against SMU. They crushed them. That's 75 points. Let me say that again. They scored 75 points against them. So, what are we saying here? Is SMU good? I don't know. 5-7 last year. 3-5 in the conference. A little bit better conference. My point about the team they played, because everybody's like, oh, the AAC's the Power Six Conference. I'm like, yeah, but we played the best of the best last year. Louisiana Tech, Western Kentucky, Middle Tennessee were the three favorites in the conference, right? You can even throw Southern Miss in there. And if you want, you can throw UTSA in there. I put them up against Tulane, Memphis, Navy, and Houston. I think that's comparable. Maybe not talent-wise, but definitely in performance.
Sure.
Sounds like you're not buying it. You're giving me this. Like,
I mean, I can meet you halfway. I think SMU is not as good.
They're not.
As the rest of their conference.
Right.
But when they get up to putting numbers, they put numbers up.
Yeah, I'll give you that. They can score. They can jump out and score. I think we've played teams that can do that. I mean, that's kind of my point, is that, like, SMU's offense is not as good as Western Kentucky's last year. It's not as talented as like Louisiana Tech. Again, we played SMU, 34 points. We played Louisiana Tech, and they scored, what, 40-something easily? Western Kentucky scored 40-something easily. You know, that's the deal. I think we got a chance. I think we win this game. That's my optimist talking, the optimist part of me talking. You said we lose, right? I think it's what you said last
week. Yeah.
And
getting to talking, I was like, yeah, no, we're going to win. it's a 50-50 game, I think. And do we have the discipline? Do we have the horses to get the upside, get the win out of this 50-50?
I say we win 34-31. That's what I predicted on the my schedule prediction thing. I think that's basically what I said last week on a podcast. Yeah, I think it's closer than the 12.5 points. I think a lot of the odds makers, the primary goal is to get bets on either side. And then two, a lot of people give SMU name recognition points. You know, like nobody really takes North Texas that seriously. Mm-hmm. And we haven't really showed anything. We haven't showed much. We haven't proven anything. We did lose to Army in a bowl game. We didn't get the greatest recruiting classes in the past 2 years, and you know, we beat a team we should have beat. So nobody knows too much about North Texas, and that's fine with me. I feel like we're better than we were last season, and I don't think we were that far off from SMU last season. And I don't believe in their quarterback.
And to the credit of North Texas, we played this weekend with some guys that, you know, most people wouldn't have heard of. You know, Quentin Jackson out of nowhere. Rico Busty was out this week, but we still were able to put up three receiving touchdowns. So even without the top talent playing, we were still able to produce.
So there you go. So I say a win. I say we pull it out. We sneak it out, a win. But I fully expect to be wrong, I guess, is what I'm saying. I wouldn't be surprised if I was wrong. Because SMU is good. All right, here's how it is. If we win, we are scoring. We're not hurting ourselves. And we get a turnover or two, like by forcing a sack, fumble, forcing a bad throw into an interception, or something along those lines, right? Like, they're going to score on us or maybe even move the ball well on us, but that's how we'll stop them, which is how the defense is designed, and that's basically how we did last season. And, you know, we score with Jeff Wilson moving the ball or finding our playmakers in the pass game, and we squeak it out. That's not a bad way to win. That's the way we're designed to play. And I don't think SMU is you know, a machine just yet. And you know, that's basically my argument for it. If we lose, it's because we hurt ourselves. We revert back to old habits where we you know, hold. We commit penalties on the offensive line. We over-rely on Jeff Wilson, meaning we don't have anything else besides give the ball to Jeff and, you know, drop passes, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Guys don't get open. Mason Fine starts staring down dudes. And defensively, we miss our run fits. We get beat, getting bullied, and that's how we lose the game.
I think we're going to – at our worst, we're going to perform average.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I talked about before. Is that, like, you know, I thought on the blog, you want to keep your team. Like, you can't really expect anybody to perform at 100%. You know, like full red line every game. That's almost unsustainable. Like your team, but if you can get everybody performing at between like 88% and 90% all the time, that's decent. And I think at 80-90% North Texas team has a chance of beating SMU, you know, because I also think SMU is going to kind of, they don't really care about us too much, I don't think. And so, you know, all you have to do is catch a team on the right day.
I believe in you.
Yeah, this whole podcast, you've been looking at me like, dude, I don't believe anything you're saying. That's fine. I was right, though. I said we're going to get 60, and we got 60.
Yeah.
I felt it in my bones.
I want to be wrong, but like you opened the podcast with, I just don't know what this team is yet. We got a dress rehearsal last week, and I just don't know what I saw.
Yeah. Well, I guess, so how do we answer that question? Mason Fine, we only get glimpses, right? So what we're looking for in Mason Fine is a guy that is improved, he's more comfortable. Like, he was already kind of comfortable, more comfortable than Alec Morris was, because I think by the time they were playing a game, they effectively had about the same game experience, right? Like, Alec Morris hadn't played in forever. So his problem was that he was, like, staring guys down, getting a little panicky, and making freshman mistakes, right? Or trying to make a play. He looked a lot more comfortable against Lamar. Now, some of that is that it was Lamar, and they were not really pressuring him. But he looked a lot more comfortable out there. And like I said, he was looking guys off, making the plays that he didn't make against Bethune-Cookman, and plays that we didn't really even see him make on his best day. Like, would he have 303 yards against Middle Tennessee? That was his, you know, career high. Where else did he play well?
UTSA, he put up a lot of yards.
Yeah, but what was the problem against UTSA? Like, the ball was slipping out of his hand. He wasn't throwing the ball cleanly. He was kind of panicking, staring guys down. This one, he looked comfortable. Again, as Lamar. But he looked comfortable. He's going through his progressions and making throws, making good, solid throws, finding.
Yeah, and that's what you're looking for. You're not looking at the stat line and saying, oh, he threw for, 231 yards. It's he was composed. He was looking guys off, like you were saying. He was making the throws. Those throws looked so much more improved than last year. And I think that's the biggest indicator there, that he's put in the work to be a better quarterback.
Exactly. And so there were throws to make against SMU last season. I don't know that they improved too much defensively year to year. I mean, again, they allow a lot of points. So if we can find those same throws, those are still available, I think he can hit him, because Alec Morris couldn't. Maybe Alec Morris, the version that we saw against Army, could hit him, but he wasn't hitting him against SMU. Mason Fine maybe could, and he still has that extra gear that pull it down, let me run a little bit. Alec Morris didn't have that, and SMU's game plan was to, pressure the quarterback, make him make a throw. So what's their game plan now? They're still looking for contain, stop Jeff Wilson, don't let Mason Fine run. And to do that, unless you're going to – obviously the best defense is man-to-man, bring everybody, right? If your guys can run step for step with our dudes, then there you go. You win. But I think they're going to stop key on a run, try to contain Mason Fine, and that's going to open up a couple of passes. Like you just mentioned, the opportunities. I don't know how much yardage is available, but I think Mason Fine – got about 70-80%, maybe even 90% of the yards available passing.
Sure, what he could have gotten.
Yeah, I mean, there was, like I said, there was not 400 yards for him to be able to eat up. And, I think it was about maybe 300 yards passing, and he got 224 of them,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was fine. It was Mason Fine. I think that's where my confidence comes from, because Jeff Wilson is Jeff Wilson. That hasn't changed. The line was iffy last season, but Jeff Wilson scored against SMU. He was able to get some yardage against SMU. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what's the difference there? I don't think too much. Receivers, we got upgrades. Guyton is an upgrade over Tigoree. Some of that Rico Bussey, if he's going to be back, is that an upgrade? That's definitely a bigger body. Calvin Smith. Yeah, Calvin Smith scored a touchdown last season against SMU. He's back. He's playing again. He showed some good things. I like it. Just everywhere around it, I like it. Defensively, we're more comfortable. We're ready to play. We got to SMU's quarterbacks last season. We just couldn't tackle them. The difference was, talent in a specific position and run fits. We couldn't fit those guys, but we've had experience now. That's where my confidence comes from.
You're getting me excited. And I like that tagline. We're not just fine, we're Mason Fine.
Please don't use that. It's terrible. But if we win, now we use it all the time. But yeah, I mean, that's where my confidence comes from. You're looking, again, you're looking for an A-plus game against the team that you're playing, right? So 60 points from the offense, that's a lot of points. That's about all you can expect. unless we were being a-holes and saying, all right, we're just going to try to score more points in, you know, in the fourth quarter. We could have scored 80 points if we did that, but that would have been awful. The only other points available were defensively and special teams. We already talked about special teams. We don't really have a guy yet. And also, Lamar wasn't kicking anything for us to return. Okay. So, defense. We're looking for maybe a sack fumble. We almost got one of those. And we did get an interception. But there was not a whole lot there. It was like three and out, three and out, three and out. So, Lamar's guys did a good job of not turning the ball over. That's really it. If they were trying to make a play, even down a field, that was going to be interception.
Which kind of makes me nervous, though. We didn't get as many sacks or turnovers as I feel we should have gotten.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, some of that, like I said, I don't know. Like, fumbles are luck. I think everybody's kind of talked about that. Like, yeah, you can maybe get a sack fumble. Those are the only ones that you can probably control. But, like, interceptions, maybe. But I don't think Lamar was ever really playing to, I don't say playing to win. But I don't know if they, I don't know what they were trying to do. Like, their game plan was more like, let's run our offense, but if nothing's there, sure, we'll punt. It just, outside of that one deep pass, I didn't see them really try to attack us anywhere.
Yeah, most of the passes were going out to the edges, which, for one, aren't interceptable. And our corners were doing a good job. Anything over the middle, though, Kimon Hall, man, he was making plays. Creating turnovers. He caused that strip sack. Not the strip sack. The
interception.
Didn't he strip the receiver?
Yeah. That's what he did. Yeah. So I mean, like I said, there was not a whole lot available. So they got what was there. So that's all we can say. But I think maybe a sack fumble, maybe an interception return all the way. That's kind of the only thing else that we can say. Well, if it was all the way, you know, but some of those it depends on the offense. You can only intercept passes that are kind of thrown that are interceptable, I guess. You know, we did what was available. We got the ball back, three and out. Three and out is a win every time, and they got a lot of those.
So I want to see McClain get an interception.
Yeah, you know, because it was a dress rehearsal. Again, we didn't get too exotic. We were, and you don't really need to. Again, if you can stop the other guys with your base defense, you don't need to break out your B, C, and D blitzes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. You get your standard stuff, and that's good. That's what we want. If we can stop everybody with two calls, that'll be ideal.
Just ask Madden.
Yeah. So I mean, we just do ask Madden all day. But so like SMU is gonna be more tough. You know. They're going to put more pressure on the offense by, you know, scoring. I think they're going to, obviously, I think they're going to score. What are we looking for? We're looking for competition, competitiveness, taking some of those hits in the mouth when Cortland Sutton makes a play and we're like, dang, that should have been a stop, and now we have to keep defending. This is where we learn some things about our guys. A lot of them we know already. We know how to react to these kinds of things. But it's all the newer guys and, you know, maybe with the new play calling, you know, the new aggression. We'll see what's up. Offensively, what are we looking for? More poise from Mason Fine. Is he going to be poised out there? Is he going to be finding guys? Some of the new receivers, are they going to be able to make some clutch catches? You know, there's not a whole lot of pressure past 17-0, right, to make these catches. Nobody cares. But if you're down 17-10 and it's close to the second quarter and this is a crucial drive, do you make that catch? You know, do you run your route crisply, or do you try to break it off to hurry up and get to the move you think is going to be open? You know what I mean? Like, those are the kinds of things that we'll learn and to look out for while you're watching this game.
What I want to see is on offense is, you know, we had lots of good examples of throwing it down the field to, you know, Lawrence, Guyton, Quentin Jackson. I want to see short passes that break for long runs. You know, more of that air raid style plays, the explosive plays that, you know, in situations where when we're down like that will help boost the offense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, from last year, what I remember, it was Rico Busey, basically him and like, I think one Kenny Byers, and then the T. Gorey touchdown, the one that he scored, were all catch and runs. And outside of that, it was all Jeff Wilson making plays, you know, Willie Ivory catching, making plays, making guys miss. I'd like to see Jalen Guyton, Darden, those guys catch, make a move, get up the field, turn a 5-yard pass into a 30-yard run. Yeah, man. Yeah. Let's see. I'm excited about it, dude. I'm kind of excited about having like a watching party because I'm gonna be here. I'm like, well, let me do a little barbecue out here, invite people over, turn on ESPN3, and see what's up.
Yeah, yeah, it's not gonna be a game that we're saying, oh yeah, North Texas is gonna get crushed. It's gonna be a competitive, watchable, fun game.
Yeah, I think we're 13-point underdogs against Army too, right?
Oh, really?
Aren't we?
I'm definitely bringing a lot of people to that game later on the season.
Yeah. I think I'm going to make it up for maybe the UTSA game because I think UAB is a little too close still this month. I got a bunch of stuff going on. I think I'm going to make it up for the UAB game, and depending on how Thanksgiving goes, I want to go out to Houston for that Rice game. Talking about a game where you feel like you're the home team. Like, that's not even a road game, man. Like nobody. There's like five people there from Rice, right? And it's like most of them are band members. They're fans of the band, and so then it was all green on our side, and pretty much anybody that plays at Rice is like the home team. You know, it's a neutral site game at best, for them. So I think their dude's gonna get fired. That's what's happening here. Off the top of your head, do you have a top five Conference USA power ranking?
Top five?
Yeah.
Let's see. I guess we'll start with La Tech.
Okay. I say Western Tech is number one, but they're like 1A, 1B to me.
No, I'm going to go with La Tech number one.
Okay. So then Western Kentucky number two then?
Western Kentucky number two. Old Dominion, I don't want
to. I say Middle Tennessee is three. I can't give Old Dominion that much credit yet.
Yeah. Man, I was expecting Middle Tennessee to do a lot better than they did against Vanderbilt. They lost 28-6.
Yeah, I think I tweeted that. I was like, you know, we need these kinds of teams. If Conference USA as a whole is going to improve, we need Middle Tennessee to win that game. We need Western Kentucky to beat. Didn't they play somebody important? We need Southern Miss to beat Kentucky. Or at least play a little bit better. I think people were like, well, you know, it was a pretty good moral victory if, you know, Giggs would have played. I mean, whatever. Should have done better. Who else you got?
What am I at?
You said La Tech number one, Western Kentucky number two, and then you waffled a bit. You said not Old Dominion at number three.
Old Dominion, Middle Tennessee, and Marshall. I'm going to stick Marshall. With Marshall.
Marshall, I don't know. Like Marshall had a super down year, but I think they'll be better, but I don't really believe in them, and I think they have to prove some things. Mine goes West Kentucky, La Tech number two, Middle Tennessee, Southern Miss, and then the rest, I guess you could say Old Dominion. I'm going to say Old Dominion. I mean...
Yeah, I don't want to put them up there. I'd rather put Southern Miss up there, but they keep performing.
Yeah, like here's the deal. Old Dominion won 10 games last season. They lost a bunch of dudes, and so you can't really say they're that good anymore. But if you give them like credit for that, then don't you have to give like a UTSA and a Marshall that? Like, where do you determine like who's good anymore? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like UTSA has talent, but they didn't win anything. So you're like, okay, well, Old Dominion won things, but they don't really have the same talent anymore. So you're like, well. I don't know. I don't know where you draw the line between those two teams. Where's the distinction? Marshall has talent. They didn't win anything. And so you're like, maybe that talent just overrated. But they should be better. So if you say they should be better, then isn't UTSA predicted to be good? And Old Dominion? So then, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just have these competing determinants of goodness.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody else, I'm going to fill out my little ballot for the minor. That's the minor thing. What's it called? Can't think of it anymore. Minor Rush for SB Nation.
Oh yeah.
They pull everybody, and they're like, so I was gonna fill that out. That's how I kind of filled it out. But I was wondering, like, how do you separate FIU and FAU? which team gets destroyed least awfully, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, and I can never remember which one's which.
Well, FAU is the one that played a game, took 6 hours. They waited, no, Navy, you need to beat us all the way. And FIU allowed 61 to UCF. Mm. So there you go. There's that. Charlie got dominated. UAB beat a nobody. Alabama A&M, and they were hyped for the first game. I really don't know what to make of UAB, even though I still think we'll beat them in a couple weeks. Rice is awful. UTEP is what? They got beat by Oklahoma, but what does that tell us about anybody? They did better last year against Texas, but Texas is terrible. So, ladies and gentlemen, Conference USA is not good. Didn't start out. That's good because we play in the conference. We can win it. We said that last week.
Yeah, it sets us up nicely.
Yeah. Again, I said 9 wins, and Aldo said he doesn't think we'll ever win a game or something like that. Right?
Ever again.
All right, folks, we will podcast Sunday, I guess, Sunday after the game. We'll have hot sports opinions about whatever happens in Dallas. Everybody have a good time. Be safe. Don't use up too much gas. We don't want it Mad Max style in the Metroplex or in Texas. Going green. It's good. It feels good. I feel like floating, man. North Texas got a win. Everybody else lost, so that makes me feel even better.
Yeah, the first week of the season is over with. You know, got the jitters out of the way, and we're fully in full swing for the football season.
Yeah, and it's always fun that Texas and A&M they lose, and especially in the manner of losing, that is amazing. You know, everybody's laughing at them, and Baylor too. Speaking of Baylor, what do you think's gonna happen between them and UTSA? This is your final hot sports opinion as you sign off.
Are they playing next week?
Yeah, Baylor's hosting UTSA.
They're hosting. Did they host last week? I'm so out of Baylor.
Yeah, they hosted. That's the thing. I don't know. I don't really know what to expect here. I'm like, how good is Baylor? I don't know what to say because everybody's suspended or I don't know what. And not that I care too much, but I'm mostly looking at Conference USA games. I'm like, okay, this is a loss, win, loss. We don't know anything about UTSA because they were supposed to play Houston. They didn't. So then now they play Baylor, which I thought was going to be a destruction at the hands of Baylor. But I'm like, now UTSA, should they be favored? I don't know.
I mean, I want UTSA. I know they're supposed to be our rivals and everything, but I want UTSA to go into Baylor and McLean Stadium and beat the crap out of them.
Wait, you want UTSA to do that?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, for the conference, I'm like, yeah, let's do that. I mean,
do it for the conference. Do it for humanity.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to Mean Green Nation Podcast. For Aldo, I am Adam. Find more podcasts on the feed. You can go to meangreennation.com and then find the podcast there. You can find a link to all the other podcasts. You can like it on iTunes or whatever it is. Leave a review. Leave some star ratings. All that good stuff. You find Aldo on Twitter. It's
Aldo Avina. A-L-D-O-A-V-I-N-A.
Yeah. And I'm Mean Green Nation on the Twitter. You find both of us on the board. You probably know who we be already. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening again. Go Mean.